Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've got Kevin Carr back with us this week.
Woohoo, I'm out of jail for my
weird Disney thing
that you were talking about last week that
what?
I have no idea what.
We'll get to that in a second. I do want to talk about that, but first, I'd like to welcome our special guest, fellow fat guy. This is the first guest we've had in a long time that is actually also fat.
Since New Year's.
Since New Year's, Brian Gibson. Associate Editor of Film School Rejects. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been here before.
Well, yeah, no.
Well, like almost
time.
A year
I said
ago.
A long time.
Yeah.
No,
it was almost
better,
a year ago.
Like, the last guests we've had, it has been Kristen, Jason, and Dave, all of whom are not fat.
Yeah.
So
I tip the scales, though.
You were last with us when we talked about, I don't know, when we were in the others.
Talked about Kevin eating lunch in the cafeteria with the Queen.
The Queen?
What are you talking about?
You went to grade school with, what's her name, Helen Mirren, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, that joke is so old that I don't
almost
even remember
almost as old
it.
As you and Ellen Mirren.
So, right. But anyways, Kevin, what were you doing in Los Angeles, and why did they send you back?
Disney sent me out for the junket on the 101 Dalmatians re-release on Platinum Edition. If you don't know anything about Disney re-releasing their stuff,
they're really
out of the
excited
vault.
About their DVDs.
Well, they do like two or three times a year, they pull a classic out, they put it on a double disc and Platinum Edition, and it's actually really, really... It's they do a really good job, and I've always enjoyed those. So we got to go see kind of how we got to paint our own cells, which was really cool. And they interview
like,
we got
like
to interview
prison
some
cells.
What? Yeah, like, prison cells. Exactly.
You get to paint them whatever color you wanted.
Exactly. No, a little cell of Pongo.
Did you say hi to Miley at least before you?
You know what's funny? Out of my window in my hotel, which I could like look out to see the El Capitan Theater, and there's a giant picture of Miley Cyrus on it because they're doing the Best of Both Worlds
concert. That's the room I want to stay in.
Yeah. No, well, she wasn't in the room with me, at least initially. No. But
except for that poster on your ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. On my ceiling.
Above the bed.
Wow.
Above the bed.
No, anyways. But anyways, it was a lot of fun and got a chance to go out to LA and meet Andres Deja, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he was really cool. He's one of the master animators. He designed Scar from The Lion King and Jafar from Aladdin.
So. He just those are the only two.
He's done other things, but those are the most noticeable.
Okay,
one. I mean, if I sat there and I said, "Oh, he designed so and so from the Great Mouse Detective," or
you could have made something up, and we would have just
you would
been
have just
amazed.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay. He discovered gold in the 1800s in California.
Well, it is good to have you back. We had a lot of fun last week without you, making fun of you. But
yeah, I noticed when I listened to the show, it was like this very like somber, cogent, almost intelligent discussion of movies, and then it would suddenly just make fun of Kevin.
Well, I mean, that's what we do here anyways. It's just so much more fun when you're here.
That was actually pretty entertaining.
I was entertained by it. So, but moving along here, let's get on to the regularly scheduled
that's right, the good stuff
dialogue here. If you'd like to reach us, you can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also head over to iTunes and just search Fat Guys the Movies, and we pop right up.
Bing.
If you would like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, which I believe somebody's been calling us over and over and over again from the some Los Angeles number, but they really fail to leave the voicemail. So you can call all you want, but it doesn't do anything unless you leave us a voicemail.
We're probably not going to answer.
We're not going to answer it because it's a...
it was an LA number, really? Seriously?
Yeah, it was a 310 number.
Is it Miley Cyrus, maybe?
Might be.
It might be Billy Ray Cyrus ready saying, I'm going to beat your ass.
That's true, because Miley has my cell number.
Yeah, right.
My iPhone.
Yeah, your cell number, as in, 1777-001.
Yeah, whatever. But if you would like to call us, 614-388-8735. 8735.
388-TREK. There you go.
388-TREK. I was going to do that, and then it's been a while since I've had you to look at.
And I'm terrifying.
And now I've got Brian here.
Right, yes.
This is really difficult for me. But
let's dive right in.
Let's do this. Let's do this review thing.
The first review we're going to talk about is Witless Protection. Larry the Cable Guy bucks Oscar weekend by starring as a small-town sheriff who kidnaps a federal witness to save her life.
Keep your hands off me.
This ain't a kidnapping. I ain't a lawman.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to rescue me a damsel in distress.
Get away from me!
Hey, run! We were in the process of escorting a valuable witness.
Thought the FBI was supposed to rescue hostages, not take them.
Are you insane?
No, I'm Larry.
His goons will try to keep me from testifying.
Protect that witness, Larry.
You can count on me. Man, my hand ain't been this sore since the first episode of Baywatch.
Crouching Tiger.
Winded Walrus.
Okay, which winded walrus here wants to take the first shot at Larry the Cable Guy that we didn't get to see?
I thought them movie studios were supposed to make a good movie, not make the Larry Cable Guy movies anymore.
Well, they don't make a whole lot. They don't cost a whole lot of money, and they do make.
And they dump
them
off in February. Somebody laughed at me the other day when I said, "They're like, well, why wouldn't you go see a movie in February?" I was like, "Because they dump all the crap in February." Perfect example: Witless Protection.
Oh yeah, although Spiderwick was good.
Well, Spiderwick was good, and well, yeah, there's like the mystery ones that are like really good, and you have no idea why they're in February because all the other stuff is just crap.
Yeah.
So
Brian, you want to take first hit this first
is
blood?
Like, this is your favorite guy, so
Larry the Cable Guy. I just I don't understand. I mean, they're letting him make movies over and over again.
They're giving money. They probably pay him for it.
And,
at least
you know,
with beer.
And the worst part is people keep going to see it. People keep buying the DVDs.
I do know people who are like that.
That is the bigger crime. I mean, we talked about Meet the Spartans a couple weeks back. Or I don't know if I was here for that show. I don't know when I'm here anymore. But people actually go see this crap, and that is...
There's something happening in the magical studio of this guy. Richard is drinking pickle juice. Our producer Richard is drinking pickle juice. And I mean, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. This has nothing to do with movies, but it is vastly more entertaining than Wickless Protection. Yes.
I would rather drink pickle juice than go see a Larry the Cable Guy movie.
He's looking at me like, what? Don't you drink
Richard's
pickle juice?
Well, I'm going to do both. So,
anyways.
All right. Well,
it's preemptive suck for this one.
It's preemptive suck because they didn't screen it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Vantage Point. Vantage Point is our next movie. It's an international incident that is witnessed by 8 points of view after a presidential assassination.
Here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Here in Salamanca, Spain, President Ashton has been working with leaders from 5 continents to forge a new groundbreaking alliance.
Today, we make history.
The President of the United States has been shot.
You need your camera.
You saw the shooter.
There was something in that window.
I saw something too.
Surprised to see me alive?
Stop. Rewind that.
Wait, now, can we play that again? Because I've heard that if you listen to it enough, you get the whole movie.
Here, rewind that.
Stop, rewind that. Rewind it again. Rewind it again.
Now, Neil, you didn't see this, so
I didn't see this.
We're going to ignore what you have to say.
Yeah,
Brian, what did you think?
I hated it.
Really?
It's funny because in my review, I said it was the worst movie that people will like. And I think it's true. People will like it.
People like Norbit.
Exactly. Point made.
People liked Meet the Spartans.
People like pickle juice.
Somebody drinks pickle juice in this room, and it's not me.
No, but Vantage Point, I didn't understand the fact why we had to watch the same 12-minute movie 8 times.
See, I thought it was actually kind of an interesting way because they did look at it at different angles, and each person
like
did reveal
the camera
different
angle,
things.
That storytelling device has been used before, but I just thought it was a slap
there's
in the face from the director.
There's been a lot of story devices that have been used before. To say that it wasn't unique is... It wasn't terribly unique. I thought it was... let me tell you this. It kept my interest, and I enjoyed myself watching it. It was. I didn't feel bored, and I didn't actually feel.
You also
was
have
tedious.
A thing for Dennis Quaid.
Yes, Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is cool. Ever since Dreamscape,
yeah,
rock on.
He was good in Smart People.
Yeah, no, Dreamscape.
All right, so let's give it a grade. So, rocks, kind of sucks.
Sucks hard.
I say kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. Okay.
And
cool.
You don't get a vote because you didn't see it.
Yeah, no, when we come back, though, we're going to do some more. We're going to do Charlie Bartlett and Be Kind Rewind. And we're back here, Fat Guys at the Movies. We've got two more films to review.
Yes, we do.
Both I've seen, and one of which you have not seen. I believe this
not
is a milestone.
Not for lack of trying. But we'll go into that in a little
bit.
Yeah,
one of them I saw at Sundance. We'll get to that one in a second. But first, we're going to do Charlie Bartlett, which involves a clever student who gains popularity by becoming the resident psychiatrist with the troubled kids in his high school.
Mrs. Bartlett, quite frankly, he is one of our brightest boys here at school.
Well, I'm just not sure why he must be expelled.
He's been running a laminating press from inside his dorm room.
You have to admit, they look pretty authentic.
So what now, Mother?
Now we try public school.
So, you're the infamous Charlie Bartlett. Is there a private school you haven't been kicked out of?
Now, your mom tells me you don't feel normal.
My family has a psychiatrist on call. How normal can I be?
Now, I will say this about Charlie Bartlett. I absolutely loved the movie. Okay. I thought it was It was kind of like a mix between like a Juno and a Rushmore.
Okay, you know? I'll give you that.
It really, it kind of.
No
had
one
that
was
same,
pregnant though.
No one was pregnant, but it was, you know, it was that coming of age high school story, and then Rushmore had the intelligent youth lashing out against the principal. In this case, sure. It's Anton
Yelchin
and Robert Downey Jr. And I will say this, Robert Downey Jr. plays one hell of a drunk.
Did you make a guess
He has a lot of experience with being a drunk. I think he's going to play a cokehead in his next movie. Isn't he? Isn't Iron Man, isn't he on drugs?
Iron Man is a drunk. He was a drunk. Tony Stark is a drunk.
He's just a drunk.
He was a drunk.
Is Robert Downey Jr. going to branch out of drunkenness?
I don't
and
think
do
so.
Cocaine
I think
addict?
He should stick with drunk because he is so much better as a drunk.
He does a great drunk.
And he's a character actor.
Yeah, he's method.
Yeah.
I hear he was drunk when he was doing that.
Nick Nolte drunk? The spider witch.
I don't think Nick Nolte is ever not drunk. I think he actually had his blood replaced with booze.
With just alcohol? Nice.
Like sober is his drunk?
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what he has to do
to
get high.
His sober is our drunk.
Well, yeah, when he sobers up, you know, he's a totally different person. Yeah.
He's like, you know,
it's like those old Laurel and Hardy episodes where Laurel would get hit in the head and he suddenly became brilliant.
Jeez, oh man. But anyways, back to Charlie Bartlett. The one thing I liked about this movie is it was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I want to say it was a clean experience in the sense that it happened and there isn't a lot of processing for the sake of the audience. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about it very much. It's a very simple story.
Transformers.
And, dude, Transformers is the ultimate experience, right? But the performances are really what make it. Yes. I think that the story isn't as, you know, it's something we've seen before. Kid's troubled. He you know, sells drugs or something and becomes
But it's not about him being a drug dealer, because what he does is it starts off with him getting, like, Ritalin and distributing that, but also then it becomes he tries to get drugs that the kids aren't getting,
right,
that they actually need.
The kids.
You know, kids who have got ADD or kids who got panic attacks.
So he's a drug dealer
and,
with a conscience.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not out there just getting people high. And and I thought that needs to be said, because if you watch the movie, you think he's just out there doping the kids up for fun.
Right, which isn't true.
He's really trying to help the kids.
And this is what we need on the streets.
In the end, it has a decent...
I don't think our average crack dealers are doing it to help people.
No,
but Charlie Bartlett, he'd be selling crack to help people.
He should run for president.
Absolutely.
And I think in the end it has a decent message.
Yeah.
It's not a fantastic movie. It's not going to blow you away, but I think it's a well-crafted experience, and it really makes me wonder why they waited so long to release it, because it was a really good film.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny. I don't remember who said this the other night, but it's like they waited, and all of a sudden Juno had this huge splash, and they were like, oh, crap, we have to get this out.
We better get this out in the theaters quickly.
It's right up that same alley. So I think if you like that kind of movie, if you like that Juno, you know, Rushmore, you know, even...
My pop culture reference for it would be, if you take Randall from Clerks, give him some direction, you throw him in Heathers and you don't have any killing.
Yeah, there was no killing.
Charlie Bartlett.
So, and Robert Downey Jr. has, I mean, the best scene is at the end where he's just...
Drunk.
Just flat out drunk.
Yeah. Did you like it, Brian? Did
I
you see it?
See
you
Charlie
didn't see
Bartlett.
It. Well, what the heck are you doing in the studio?
Get out. I'm sorry.
Well, let's. I give it a kind of rocks. You give
it. I give it a totally rocks. I enjoyed it a lot.
Let's move on to the next one, which is Be Kind Rewind. Jack Black and Mos Def accidentally erase all the tapes in a video store, then reshoot the films in their own bizarre style.
Rewound this tape all over, and it's blank.
Really?
We're magnetized. You erased these tapes. It's you.
You gotta find new tapes.
I got a better idea.
Follow me.
When you're walking down the street and you see a little ghost,
what
you gonna do about Ghostbusters?
What is that?
That's the Ghostbusters theme song.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Now, I didn't see this movie, not for lack of trying. Just real quickly, what happened was...
Yeah, and you have every right to be upset, because when I tell you about this film, you're going to be even more upset.
I'm going to see it this weekend, and I'll probably like it.
Yeah.
Well, and then what's funny thing is I actually wouldn't have been able to see it, because I was in L.A. at the time.
Right.
But they pulled the screenings. New Line pulled all the screenings, and then said, we screened it.
Yeah.
They told you, Neil, that they screened it, but they really didn't, because I talked to some critics who actually tried to go to the screening and they didn't have it.
Right, and they didn't have it. It was very disappointing. It was a big snafu, and I think just tons of miscommunication. And this happens, but it happens too often for press in smaller markets. And we're in Columbus, Ohio. We're not in L.A. We are...
we have 9 million people that listen to
this
show.
Yeah, we have a lot of people. I mean... We have, 9 million. And that's a modest.
I rounded up.
I would say that's a modest estimate.
28 people.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between 28
Neil's
and 9
mom
million.
Rounds up to 9 million.
Dude, are you saying my mom's?
No, I'm saying your mom is like one of our avid listeners.
She is, which but is why how does that round up to 9 million?
I don't know, but
you just gave a mom joke inadvertently.
I didn't know it. I'm not saying anything
Gerard
bad
Butler's
about your mom.
Kick you
yeah, Gerard
in
Butler's
face,
coming
in
after
the fat
me.
Face. Yeah, that's right.
Your mom.
I almost
said, I did it again.
Dude,
oh,
I almost said a bad word on the radio.
Anyways.
You almost made me say a bad. I would have had to beat you.
Well, okay. What'd you think of Be Kind, Rewind? You saw it at Sundance.
I absolutely loved it. I saw it at Sundance. I was there at the premiere, and I tell you what, the coolest thing was we were walking to the premiere, and first of all, there were these two very nice-looking young ladies. And I'm not saying young like Miley Cyrus. He's like, Neil's going
not
to jail.
Not in a creepy
young.
Sort of thing.
I love he has
they
to
were 12.
Like, explain to himself that they were of
the
age.
The fact you actually have to say that.
We've had a running thing on the show where people think I am a pedophile, and that is not entirely true.
It's only partially
not
true.
Entirely true.
I draw the line at 15.
Yes.
What?
So,
what? I'm from Kentucky.
They have to be within
he gets
two.
Mad at me for making
you know,
fun of his mom. She's
responsible.
Sorry,
Kentucky.
We walk up, and first of all, there's these two very nice young girls.
Now you just made it worse. You said young girls.
Young
what
ladies.
Are they, 11?
They were young they ladies. Were,
they
now
were,
they're girls.
They were
I was walking by a preschool.
No, they were of age. We talked to them, and
I asked
at least
for IDs.
They looked over 18. I don't know, but they had
they're
a sign.
They're
going to
be 18 in 56 months. It's okay.
God, man, you're. I'm not even. I can't even finish this right now.
Quick, we have 3 minutes.
So,
what
anyways,
do you think of the movie?
I know I've got plenty to say here.
We're not even
right?
in the screening yet. Tell us the
yes.
story.
So they have a sign that says "We'll do anything," and they have like anything in like bold letters to get one ticket to Be Kind Rewind, and at the bottom it says. Shameless and Alex from
well,
the first showing
what?
And I are like, what does anything mean?
Now I
there?
Know that you saw the movie. This would have been better if you hadn't. If you said I didn't see the movie at Sundance and this is why I could see where
right.
this you didn't take him up on the offer.
Well, I didn't have an extra ticket and I wasn't passing up on the movie.
Well, you're an idiot.
It was the world premiere, so even better. We start. We
I
keep
don't care.
Walking.
They could like say I got the next 5 Star Wars movies ever to be made, and like two hot young chicks at Sundance be like, I'll do anything. I'll be like, all right, get the whipped cream and cocoa butter.
So, anyways, as we keep walking in after we talk to them, and Jack Black's just standing out on the sidewalk, just talking to people, just
is
hanging
he
out,
singing,
and no, not singing, just having or, having a good old time talking to people,
scatting.
But we finally made it into the
scriddly diddly do.
We finally made it into the screening. We saw the film. The film is fantastic. A lot of people don't understand Michel Gondry. You know, he did Eternal Sunshine. He did.
There are no giant hands in
this
movie, or
and yeah,
like
there's
that.
Some weird stuff in his movies. But he's just so creative. He's so out there. He's so French. And
by French, you mean
by
on drugs.
Far, yes. This is by far his most accessible movie because it has Jack Black, who's a notable name. It has Mos Def, who is also very notable if you like rap music, and. It, no.
What about if you like?
What if you like Inside or
not Inside
16
Man.
Blocks?
16 Blocks.
I mean, he's been in like 5 movies.
He was in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes.
He was in The Woodsman.
And he's good.
Which you should find a certain kinsmanship
in
to.
What?
The Woodsman.
Wow. But
you know what's a funny tag to this story? Jack Black didn't actually see his own movie because he took up those girls on their offer in front. He's like,
let's
I was in the movie,
rumors.
Man.
Let's
I can get you tickets.
But
skiddly diddly doo.
I tell you what's fun about this movie is the premise is absolutely fantastic. It is a very simple film to follow, which is good for me. And it's very funny, it's very light, and it's you know, I mean, you think about it, people making their own remakes or sweeting as they call it in the movie. These classics like Ghostbusters and there's I don't know, there's a couple.
Has anyone
ones.
Made their own version of Be Kind Rewind yet?
They made the trailer. If you go online, if you actually go to Film School Rejects, we did a lot of, we posted a few of the sweeting videos. Michel Gondry actually sweeted his own trailer where he plays every character in the trailer. Absolutely hilarious. It's a very creative film.
This is what we're going to do since we're now doing more video stuff.
Yeah.
Brian and I will swede a version of Neil going to the Sundance premiere and the two hot chicks who he doesn't take up on their offer.
Right.
Are you going to do the Neil voice?
I'm Neil Miller. And I got tickets to see Be Kind Rewind.
Official
who
grade.
Who can I be? Can I be Jack Black?
You can be all of them. We'll just
official
I'll let
grade
you
grade right. is totally rocks. Go see Be Kind Rewind. We'll be back in a second.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
And welcome back. You are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. You're still listening to us on the radio if you're hearing us on the radio. The internet-only segment doesn't come until later. But stick around if you're on the internet because...
it's going to be good.
We're going to do our Oscar predictions. This is our big, fat Oscar show. And we didn't have one last year because we started right after the Oscars.
Yeah, remember? Actually, we started literally like a month after.
Exactly. And
our first show was on March 30th, so we're coming up on our one-year anniversary.
We are coming up on our one-year. If you guys would like to send us ladies...
Money.
Or
ladies,
or
did you
money
say?
For ladies.
You can send us ladies, but
or
they,
if you are those two,
they
girls
tend not
from
to
Sundance.
They don't
except
save
from
very
Russia
well.
Or
well, you know what? They don't do well in the FedEx envelope over a couple days.
I must break you.
There it is. There's your Dolph Lundgren reference.
It's gonna happen again.
All right. So
anyone who doesn't know the Dolph thing is Brian, who was gonna do the interview for whatever reason, you couldn't do it. And you're like, Kevin, can you interview Dolph? It's Dolph Lundgren. I'm like. Okay.
He's my hero.
I just
can't help it.
All right. So anyways, we're talking about box office from last weekend. And some things happened. Jumper.
Jumped to the box office.
You know.
Or as Box Office Mojo says, teleported to the
teleported.
Top.
Wow. Transported from one box office position to another instantaneously.
It beat the crap out of Step Up to the Streets when the weekend was over.
I will say this, I was surprised. Now, we had at number one, Jumper at 27 million, Spiderwick Chronicles at 19, Step Up 2 at 18, Fool's Gold at 12, and Definitely Maybe at 9. This is one of the first times we've seen four new releases in the top five.
In a while, yeah.
In a long time. And I will say I'm surprised that, I know this isn't the 5-day totals, but in the weekend, Spiderwick came out ahead of Step Up 2, which Dave and I last week predicted that Step Up 2 would either finish number one or finish right behind Jumper.
Well, but Spiderwick only squeaked ahead. I mean, it's like 90,000 away. It's like two weekends of the hottie and the naughty away.
It was Nick Nolte drunkenly losing his wallet.
Right, and
that's what he would have gone and seen everything. We bought tickets for an entire
Jumper. Time. Jumper beat the poo out of both of those films.
That's true.
So
and it started off soft.
It was
like
Samuel
on the
Jackson. 14th. It's the Sam Jackson bump. I tell you.
There you go. You know, but Jumper is one of those movies, and I said this to you earlier before we
back
started the show.
Like 1997.
Yes, exactly. Because I teleported back there and said it to you when you were like in grade school, going after like preschoolers. And I said, Jumper's the kind of movie that I really shouldn't have liked, but I did. But right. I really, really thought was fun.
Right. It was, and there were a lot of problems with it, but ultimately it was okay. It was worth going to see. And in that we're giving away some passes, aren't we?
That's right. You got to be in Columbus, Ohio to get these.
Yeah, which means that you're cool already. So,
well, unless you go to a certain unnamed theater in town that I have a vendetta against at this
small
point.
Small indie theater in Bexley. Anyways.
That's okay. I don't think Jumper's going anywhere near
no,
that.
And these passes are good at the AMC Lennox, the AMC Easton, and the AMC Dublin.
Yeah.
So if you would like to, go to filmschoolrejects.com, search Columbus and Jumper, and it'll come up, and you can enter into our little contest. We're doing it on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you get there quickly, and you're one of the first 25, you get a pass for two to go see Jumper.
Yeah. But again, you have to be in Columbus, because they're not going to work in Wichita, Kansas.
Right.
Yeah. You can try, but I don't think they will.
You'd be like, "Well, this is the AMC," and they'll be like, "No, you're obviously a little slow."
Yeah, so. but it was nice to see the Spiderwick Chronicles get a bit of a bump because that was a great movie. It's my top of the year so far.
Yep. So cool. So there you
and
have
I
it.
Have good word that the Fox rep liked the Jumper drinking game we did.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Another notable box office winner over the last couple of weeks, Juno. It finished in the top 10 again. It finished number 7.
What movie?
4.6 million, Juno.
I've never
small
heard of it.
Indie film.
Never heard of
very,
it.
Very, very small.
The it little is movie now, that could.
It is the only film that in every week of its release has been in the top 10. So if it stays in the top 10, it will continue that reign. It's also made
eventually
go
drop out of the top 10. Just,
well, I mean,
the nature of
eventually
things
it'll drop
you know?
Out of theaters. But because it's coming out on DVD,
unless
in April.
They just like pull it after the Oscars,
they should just pull it.
Just say it's never left
it's
the top 10.
It's gonna win Best Picture, and they're gonna yank it.
I don't know about
it
that.
It might win Best Picture. We'll tell you that in the internet only segment. But it's made 125 million, making it the most successful platform release since My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah,
which made $250 million or something.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
But and then again, that had John Corbett in it, and how can you compete with?
How
that?
Can you compete with John Corbett? Next week, we've
unless you're Dolph Lundgren.
Unless you're Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren again.
I must break you.
Singing country western music. Stupid man.
Nice.
He doesn't even have an accent. The guy's gotten rid of his accent completely, but everyone still thinks he talks like Ivan Drago from Rocky.
But that's how he's my icon.
Or he doesn't talk at all like in Universal Soldier.
Right. Wow. Can we move on with the box office?
Yes, okay, fine.
Okay, so this weekend coming up, we only have one very wide release. It's Vantage Point in 3,100 theaters. Everything else is in 1,300 or less theaters. Witless Protection, Charlie Bartlett, and Be Kind Rewind, all in right around 1,000 theaters.
Well, and Be Kind Rewind is at 800.
So this is small. That's a platform release.
And because it's under 1,000, that's usually why they... That's probably why they pulled screenings. Yeah. Because it's a small... Which...
Is really sad.
Yeah. But it tends to be at this time, usually non-Oscar-type films tend to do well.
Right.
On, like, Oscar weekend.
I think Be Kind Rewind will... It might break into the top 10. It might be that movie that breaks into the top 10. I think Vantage Point might finish in the top 5. Probably in the top 5, but I think you're going to see...
Jumper's going to still be
Jumper, Spiderwick, probably step up 2 again, and then from there...
I think Vantage Point has a good shot at getting like maybe a 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just simply because it's the only new release, and as good as Spiderwick is, it's a totally different audience, and Jumper isn't a super strong film. It's good, but I think, at least in my opinion, both of them were sort of on that same level of fun.
I think you'll have a strong... Spiderwick will finish strong this weekend because it's the only family movie.
Yeah, kids.
And, you know, people are going to need something to do when they don't want to go watch the Oscars.
And they're still completely pushing that on advertising, and McDonald's has a toy tie-in, so...
Nice.
My kids have already been like, I want to go to McDonald's. You want food there? No, I want the toy.
Yeah. I want the
toy. A Vantage Point toy?
Yeah, from Vantage Point. They got a dead president.
Dead president. with your McValue fries?
They've got Idi Amin with a video camera.
Brian, stay with us here.
So. Sorry.
Quick, make a Dolph Lundgren comment. That'll move us on.
So, ding, 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 that means it's over. It is time to sound off. We've got a
ding, ding, ding.
Ding, what ding, the heck ding. That was, I needed to, like, I need to keep you guys on point here because we keep getting off.
You sort
on
of
tangents.
Flipped your wrist when you did that, too.
Don't worry about that.
He's a pretty boy.
So, we have some important topics.
He's
to
hitting
sound
on me, and I'm
on.
Not even a child.
Wow.
No. Batting his eyes.
Speaking of things that need to be hit on,
he's going after my kids.
Hi, Kevin.
He's like, I hear you're going to have a kid in May. Can I start hitting on it now?
Neil's getting cut off. We better pay attention to him.
He's
going
to start talking to my wife's belly. He's going to be like, hey, kid, you want some candy?
I have a windowless van. Come out.
You know, I told my wife.
Oh, jeez.
I told my wife.
We're never going to get to these.
My baby's due date is, well, it was originally the 14th of May, and then it's going to be the 16th. I told her, I said, you know what? You can't go into labor during the Indiana Jones press screening. And she goes, you can see it. It's like opens on, what, the 20th? I go, yeah, but they're going to have probably the press screening right when it's due. And she's like, you're not missing the birth of our child. I go, well, you know, the last two kids, you're in labor for 14 hours each. That should give me enough time to run to the theater and see the movie.
And we're all surprised Kevin survived that at all.
Well, she's pregnant, so she can't move very fast. I mean,
just tell her you're going to get her flowers,
yeah,
and you'll be right back.
Six or seven months pregnant. I mean, she can barely get off the couch, but she's beautiful.
Wow. Anyways, moving on.
I won't be burning.
On that note, what are we talking about now?
On that note, we're gonna sound off here. The first topic is Lindsay Lohan's breasts have come out.
Rock on. That's what
this is something that we've been predicting and or recommending to Lindsay since she developed her drug habit.
Well, it's like I said, I got to go back and check how many flops did she have, and there should be a scientific calculation to say how many flops you have before you show your boobs.
I would actually go out to say we've been recommending her to do this ever since she developed her assets.
Neil's been recommending it ever since Parent Trap, and that was a little inappropriate. He's like, she's twins. No,
there's
she just
two of her,
twins.
And she's only 13. Oh my god.
That's 4 non-breasts.
That's 26 if you put them together.
See, I go for the older women. I just split them up. Oh, my Lord. Neil. Anyways,
I don't even want to be on this show anymore. You guys can finish
this
by
yourselves.
Oh, wait,
I hear the sirens right now. They're coming for you, Neil.
All right,
and this
van
has no windows either, but they're going to take you away.
So, moving on, Ridley Scott is making a Monopoly.
Oh, no, I thought
movie.
We were still going to talk about Lindsay Lohan.
No, we're done.
No, there was one thing that
no
we had
jokes.
To talk about.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Where they came from. If you haven't seen the pictures, you really have to see the pictures.
Well, you know what's funny is the ones that like she like has a scarf over them, and that looked sexier than one of the ones where she's like, woohoo, here they are. I'm kind of like, eh.
But they look so big that I just...
Well, she's a little girl.
mean, yeah, but I like I said,
she's Mila likes little girls. pointed out earlier. He recommends breast implants for like 11-year-old children.
Okay. Don't start your car later.
Oh, my. Just don't. I've got my eye on you, Neil Miller.
But I will say that they were decent picks. At least she didn't do a hustler spread. Like,
what do you mean at least? So much, I expected that at
I
least.
I think this is at least, if you're going to take your clothes off, do it in a classy way.
Not me.
I really think she must have stolen those things from somebody in rehab.
I think they almost look like they were stuck on there.
Yeah.
All right.
Sort of like
on.
A Fabio.
All right. Okay. Can we talk about the Monopoly movie?
Yes,
now?
Let's talk about the Monopoly.
Ridley Scott's going to make a Monopoly movie. How does that make you feel?
I'm like, why?
I think it'd be good. I think it could be done really, really cool.
You know what I think he should do? He should charge everybody $1,000, see the theater in little red houses, and it should be 8 hours long.
I think everybody, instead of a ticket, should get a little metal piece.
Yes, exactly. Just drive in a little car. And
you could be that really angry person who got the thimble.
There you go. Yeah, it's like,
why did
me?
I get the thimble?
I got the
he
shoe
got the battleship
with a wing on it.
And I got the thimble.
It was funny because Robert, one of our writers at Film School Rejects, made a comment about maybe they should just make all the Hasbro games. And one of the ones that he came up with was
Ants in Your Pants?
Was Michael Bay directing Battleship.
Wow. Oh, that would
that
be a
would
good
be
movie.
Awesome.
Of course, Neil would be doing Ants in Your
and
Pants.
Then,
and when it's Ants, it's A-U-N-T.
Oh, the other one, and this ties directly into me. No. Is Stretch Armstrong, done by Edgar Wright, starring Dolph Lundgren.
Rock on.
Or,
I must break you.
Guillermo del Toro doing Candyland, that'd be creepy.
Ooh, that would be cool.
That would be cool. See,
You'd have like Mr. Mint coming in, like stabbing people in the head.
We're trying to sell this. So, all right, moving on.
Johnny Depp.
We're
going to
skip over. We're going to skip over Wolverine. Wolverine is in production. The Blob's in it. We broke the story.
Anna Faris got divorced.
Anna Faris got divorced.
She's mine now. Way
She's
too old
now
for you, Neil.
Kevin's HD DVD is dead. Do you even care?
What?
HD DVD is dead.
I never looked at it. I think I saw, was Balls of Fury on HD DVD?
Yeah.
Okay, then I watched you watching it one day.
Yeah, it's sad. I think ultimately consumers have lost in this battle because now Sony has no reason to drop the prices on Blu-ray.
But
they just keep them up there.
In like a couple years, they're going to have a totally new format that's not even a disc format, and you're going to have to buy it.
It'll be digital.
Digital?
Digital media.
It'll be all on your phone. You just plug your phone in.
You know what
something.
They should try? Is like DVD discs, but like 3 feet wide, really, really big.
Like laser discs?
Like laser discs.
No. Like really, really big
like
discs.
like macro discs.
Anyways, before we go to break.
9 million lines of resolution.
Before we go to break.
Or rectangular shaped tapes.
Jeez, you guys are killing me. We're going to break. We'll be back. And we are back here on Fat Guys and Movies. This is our internet only segment. And to start us off, before we start, I have something to say.
Yes.
Fuck both of you.
Oh.
Yes. That is what I have to say.
And I'm in my 30s.
Oh. Jeez.
He's making an exception for you, Kevin. But if you divide you in three, you're only three 10-year-olds.
That's actually all I had to say for the whole segment.
Yeah, you
guys can do the Oscar
you can go to
by
Neil's,
yourself.
You can go to Neil's new website, babyheathpatrol.com, and find out more about his obsessions.
Can we move on? Are
we
you
have
guys
Richard
ready to
already. He's locking the domain and making a logo right now. As we
go,
speak.
Daddy.
All right. So we have milkshakes.
Yes.
That were made for us by two very nice young ladies.
Here we go again.
I tell this story because
they just got their work permits.
No, shut up. This is not sexual.
It always is sexual.
But the funny part is we went to Cold Stone Creamery, which is fantastic. And this is, they're not paying me to say this.
And they got like 9,000 calories per milkshake.
per sip.
This will keep you alive for 3 days.
But if you put a tip in the jar, they sing.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
Get
it was
something
hysterical.
Different
no.
for me when I go get stuff. But anyways.
It was good. It was fun.
Yes, we have milkshakes. But this is in honor of There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
And, you know, I have a milkshake, and I have a straw that goes from my milkshake across the magical studio in the sky and goes into Neil's milkshake. And, Neil, I drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
You're an idiot.
And we will be drinking our milkshakes.
We are drinking milkshakes.
We are drinking our milkshakes throughout the rest of the
Brian's
show.
Of course, Brian's in here looking at us like we are.
I'm just going to paint.
Have you seen
this?
Have you seen
this? I'm going to paint a painting. I'm going to
chase him around a bowling alley. I'm going to chase him around a bowling alley and beat him up.
I'm actually painting a masterpiece right now with my left foot. And then I'm cutting some veal.
Nice.
With the American flag hanging over my shoulders.
All right.
I see no good in people.
Does anybody get that reference?
That's
I didn't get the American flag. Is that Gangs of New York? I've never seen that, actually. That's one I haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
That was at a time when I wasn't able to see the art movies because I didn't have time.
Oh. You only saw movies that involved Larry the Cable Guy.
Well, he's only had like a couple, which I will say, I think I have seen his entire filmography, which is like four films, including Cars.
So, but we're here to talk about movies that do not involve Larry the Cable Guy whatsoever.
I drink it up.
We are going to drink some milkshakes, and we are going to do the Oscars.
Yeah, we're just going to roll down this list. Go print out your Oscar ballot at Oscars.com or at Oscars.org.
You can go to Oscar.com.
Or BabyTeethPatrol.com.
They don't have any ballots there.
Yeah, but they got some really awesome videos directed and starring Neil Miller.
And we
shoot them in Brazil so we don't get arrested in the States.
Anyway, so how do you want to do this there, Kevin? How do you want to, I mean, are we just going to go around and predict?
Do we want to just go down through the, what I want to do is I think we should say what we think is going to win and what we think should win in the categories. But do we want to, they have it alphabetically on the Oscar ballot, but let's get rid of
let's get rid of the crappy ones.
Let's do the stuff like animated feature and art direction first.
Okay,
animated feature. What do you think?
I Ratatouille.
Is that for both that it should win?
I think who will win, and that is who should win. Absolutely,
I agree. What do you think? What do you think, Brian?
I agree as well.
I think there's a slight chance that Persepolis might squeak it out simply because of the political ramification. Just because it's a political movie. But
it's still not a good one, though.
It's so. Okay, but it's so out there compared to the other two and what's been done in the past. I really think Ratatouille is one of the best reviewed movies of the year. How do you not?
I think it's one of the best films, either way, movie. Animated or not. So,
art direction.
Art
Neil.
Art direction? Oh, crap. I should have read
these. You didn't do that? You're like, nobody cares about
that.
No,
you know what? I think Sweeney Todd is going to win. I think Sweeney Todd should absolutely win. It was a fantastic looking film.
Yeah. What do you think,
brilliant,
Brian?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that one. I mean, realistically,
Brian,
no.
Brian's just gonna agree with me the rest of the night.
I like what Neil says.
I'm just gonna try to fuck up your shit all night.
Wow.
Right after this one,
he's like internet only segment douchebag fuck up cunt whatever man.
Wait, how about for Atonement?
Actually, no. That's the thing. I think that cunting film Atonement is gonna win for art direction.
Because of that big word.
Because they use, because it's amazing when you say there was a huge cunt on screen in Atonement. I went and saw it. I'm like, it's just the word. Holy Jane Fonda in the vagina monologues. I wanted to see the real thing.
And you asked for your money back.
Exactly.
You're that guy who said I was expecting cunt all over the screen.
I wanted cunt all over. It was all over the screen. Can you see it? C-U-N-T. I'm like, shut up, man. And I punched him in the face.
Screw you, Joe Wright. That's right. Yeah. That's why you didn't get nominated for Best Director.
No, I think it's going to win simply because I don't think it's going to win the other big awards, so they're going to give it to that because they like it so much. Just, I mean, the Academy, but I think what should
they
win
want
is,
it to feel better about itself?
Yes. The Golden Compass, I think, should win. I thought that looked brilliantly done.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What are we doing next?
Let's do cinematography. Let's just skip the big ones until the end. So cinematography. Neil? I think this is up in the air. What do you think?
You know what? This is a tough one because I think that No Country is probably going to win, but I think Atonement should win this because I thought the cinematography was at least great. It had a very great scale. There was that, you know, the cool...
they photographed the cunt really well.
They did, and there was that cool shot on the beach where it's the tracking shot. So I think
that was
the cinematography
so out of
was
place,
great.
Though. I mean, it looked
it was
beautiful.
Out of place, but it looked beautiful, and that's the point. That's why they give the award. So I think it should win, but I really think... I think No Country is going to get a lot of awards. Mm-hmm. So, if you can spot a theme, go ahead, Brian.
I'm gonna say that Atonement probably will win, but I like Assassination of Jesse James. Blah 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 blah. reason being is because
I like that title.
The only thing about Jesse James was Brad Pitt talks really cool.
The entire goddamn really, movie.
Really cool shots of trees.
And then there was this and weirdo guy talking.
Casey
as well.
Affleck talked, and then really cool shots of trees.
And then a lot of stuff through frosted glass, and yeah. Then some blurry edges.
I mean, you know, it was better than the Discovery Channel.
The train robbing scene actually looked really cool.
Yeah,
I thought. I will admit, when I saw the movie, as bored as I was, I said, "That's like an Oscar-winning cinematography shot."
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah. It was magical.
That is the Oscar money shot.
I'm going to actually break with you guys on this one and say I think the diving bell and the butterfly has a chance of winning simply because...
You're the only one who's seen it.
Well, I don't think it's going to win. It's sort of like Atonement going for art direction. I don't think it's going to win the other bigger awards.
Right.
And I think that they want to give it some love anyways. And you have to admit, that was a challenge to make that interesting from that perspective.
Right, from a single. It's shot for the 99% of America that has not seen the film. It's shot from a perspective of a man who...
Like 90% of it is. There's flashbacks
yeah.
and stuff.
But. Yeah, so it's shot from his perspective. He only had what? Well, he had a stroke, so you can only see from like one side of his face or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, he could only blink or something like that. I learned how to say the French alphabet
yeah.
by watching the movie.
Well, but I think no country should experience,
win.
Then.
I think no country should win, but okay. I think the diving bell's going to get that one.
All right. Cool.
Costume design, the one that Marie Antoinette walked away with last year.
Did Norbit get nominated for this one? Oh, that
no.
was makeup.
No,
I'm
different
sorry.
One. We'll deal with that in a minute.
Trying to find the
down at the bottom left. Costume design. What do you think, Neil?
Oh, see, that's a tough one because I think Elizabeth will probably win just because it's a period piece and period pieces always have the advantage here. But I really think that Sweeney Todd should win because, I mean, just watch the scene with it's online. It's one of the clips that's online with Sacha Baron Cohen. His costume. Oscar winner.
You just liked
right
his,
there.
You just liked his
huge
bulge.
Junk.
You're like, wow. He's got
did
a
you, did
huge
you compliment his
package.
Junk?
Yeah.
He's just trying it, to
that
avoid
is Oscar winning. Because
Sacha Baron Cohen is a man and B over 15. So he's trying to break with tradition here.
You know what Neil and Isla Fisher have in common?
Oh no. We both are interested in Sacha Baron Cohen's junk.
Yeah.
Hey.
I was gonna go for that one.
I was gonna say, but she doesn't go after little girls.
As far as you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian, costume design.
He's like, get away from this.
Uh-oh.
The cops are listening.
Woo! It's my mom and the cops now.
I'm drinking your milkshake.
I must break you.
Once again! No Academy Award even close to that.
Dolph Lundgren deserves one. Anyways, I'm going to go with the reverse of Neil. I think that Sweeney Todd will win. And Elizabeth, the Golden Age, it looked fantastic, but still was a steaming pile. So,
see, the reason I don't think Elizabeth, the Golden Age isn't going to win is, A, last year they had that period piece win, and also it's just so easy to say that it would be the highfalutin period piece. But also, I thought the costuming was actually overdone in that, whereas at least Marie Antoinette last year, as bad as the movie was, at least it looked authentic. I think Atonement's going to win. Because it's subdued and they want to give love to Atonement, where it won't get any of the top awards.
Right.
And I kind of agree. I think it should. Although I think the costume design in all of them is good. It's really hard to pick which one I think should.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on. You know what? Let's do documentary feature. Neil, okay. What do you think? Who do you think's going to win?
I think the No End in Sight. I think is. I watched part of it, and it was good. I really don't think that.
Did it have an ending?
Yeah, but it was really vague. But I think that will probably win, and I think it deserves to win. I really don't think the Academy is going to go for Michael Moore this year. Sicko was a solid film, but it wasn't as good as... And it doesn't stand out as much as something like Fahrenheit 9/11. And I really think
win.
That everyone... Or the one that he won for, Bowling for Columbine,
he won.
It doesn't stick out as much as Bowling for Columbine did. And I really think they're going to try and avoid him getting up on stage. And make an acceptance speech.
Why isn't Fidel Castro here?
It's kind of like No End in Sight is going to win because no one wants to hear Michael Moore's acceptance speech. So, there you go.
Actually, I'm going to have to completely disagree again. Sorry, Neil.
That's the dude. Disagree
but
away.
But I think, you know, considering the writer's strike, considering that a lot of people haven't seen two of the quote-unquote Oscar favorites in No Country and There Will Be Blood, that they're going to want something for people to talk about and they're going to want to see Michael Moore up on stage. So I'm going to have to say Sicko will win just because it's going to be a ratings piece. But, yeah, I mean, No One in Sight was great, too. So,
see, I think Sicko's going to win simply because Michael Moore didn't make as big of an ass of himself in the media as he did after Fahrenheit 9/11, and he played by the Academy's rule, which he didn't do in Fahrenheit 9/11. And I mean, I don't think he should win because I didn't think that was that strong, especially after finding out a lot of stuff I know from somebody who did the documentary and finding out what sort of fabrications he did.
He's kind of a douche.
He is a real douche. Mega douche. And I think what should win is King of Kong, a Fistful of Quarters. There should be a write-in vote for
write-in vote for King of Kong. I will
the
agree.
Fact that that didn't get nominated just shows that the Academy's head is so far up their ass.
Yep. We can and we can skip over documentary short because
no one saw any of those.
No chance. No
same
shot
thing with foreign film. There's been foreign films that we've seen.
Lots of great ones.
But none of them on the Academy's list. I haven't seen any of these.
Yep. I will say that Lucas, our man in Greece, who did our foreign film wrap-up for Film School Rejects, said that The Counterfeiters will probably win. And it is Beaufort, I don't know how you say it because it's foreign, that should win.
Beaufort.
I don't know where these films are from, but...
Not from America.
The Counterfeiters is Film School Reject's official pick. Let's do film editing next.
Well, actually, let's just mention the ones we're also going to skip.
Yeah.
Let's skip the short animated film. Best film. The short live action film. Best film. So the ones that no one has ever seen.
Right. And you know what? Every year I've done, when I was younger, my mom and I used to watch Oscar Night. We used to try and pick and see who would pick more. We just skip those because, you know, it's so tough to see.
You're just guessing.
It's so tough to see all those films. Most Academy members don't even see all those films. And they can go see them for free. You know, they have special screenings for them. So it's really sad because... It's you know, if they're screening these in your neighborhood or your city or your town, go see them. If they end up on iTunes, I know the short animated films all ended up on iTunes this week. Go see them because these are great films. And you know what?
Some of these filmmakers
are the next big thing. And if you don't see them now, you're gonna
Pauly Shores of tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. But not Pauly Shore.
Sorry, I'm busy drinking my.
Anyways, moving on. Let's do.
Editing.
Let's do film editing next, and I will say, I think that the Academy wants to give Sean Penn's movie an Oscar, and I think unfortunately it's going to happen. And I think Into the Wild is probably going to win film editing because it's, there's nothing else that it could possibly win that wouldn't cause some kind of riot.
What else is it up for aside from best supporting
something
actor?
Else.
Best supporting actor, but that's it. Right?
Best supporting
biggest
actor.
Director.
I don't know. There's some, whatever. There was something. I don't know.
It was up for original score, but they pulled it.
They pulled it because
it wasn't written for the movie.
Right. I think The Bourne Ultimatum should win this because if you know, I think that the person who edited, I don't know their name. I'm sorry. Having to sift through all of that shaky footage that Paul Greengrass shot for this film, you should win a Nobel Peace Prize, okay? Because just watching that film makes you queasy,
yeah.
And I can only imagine what it was like to edit it. Probably a very painful task, so I think that should win, but I think Into the Wild's going to win.
Brian.
That's bold. That's a bold statement.
I think that for editing, it's going to be tough for No Country and There Will Be Blood to win it just because of the fact that they're so long. It's really hard to win when you're that long of a film.
Sort of like having sound editing? Is There Will Be Blood's up for sound editing? And you're like, the first 20 minutes of the movie is nothing. The guy did no work for the first 20 minutes of the movie. He's like, I want it to be 2 hours long, so I'm going to come in at the 20-minute mark. Then I'll mix the sound.
Yeah. I'd have to say film editing should and will is Into the Wild. I just thought that if it were edited any other way, the film would have been completely horrible, just if the story was told in a different aspect.
So you're saying that it should win and will?
Should and win. It should and will.
See, I think The Bourne Ultimatum should and will. I think it's going to win simply because it's the strongest one out there, and it's a little more technical, and so you're going to have the editors seriously looking at that. And I agree with Neil. I mean, making sense out of the chaos that was the movie, and had it been just the chaos of the raw footage,
right?
I thought it was a feat itself.
Definitely.
All right, let's see. Let's move on. Makeup. Aha. My category. Neil, what do you think?
I think Norbit's going to win this one, and I think it should, just so that you can be extremely angry about it for the next year, just like the Marie Antoinette thing. I think I didn't see La Vie en Rose. I thought the makeup in Pirates of the Caribbean was okay, but no better than the other movies, and neither one of them won. So I don't see any reason why Norbit shouldn't win this Oscar. Just
so you're saying it will and should.
Just despite Kevin Carr.
Okay. Brian?
I don't think any of them should win the Oscar. I think this is like the garbage category of the year.
Wow.
But Will is probably Norbit because I think the Academy feels really, really bad for reminding Eddie Murphy that he is Eddie Murphy from last year. They're like, okay, you have really almost no business being here. So he left
the awards after his category was read, I think.
Yeah.
Last year.
He got the point.
He's like, I'm going to go do Norbit and make more money than Dreamgirls did.
I'm going to make more scores to Beverly Hills Cop.
There you go. I have to say, the reason I'm picking Norbit is because, you know, Murphy's Law, if it's going to go wrong, it should. It will. And that's what's going to win. Yeah. And I don't think Norbit should win simply because it's Norbit. And Levian Rose, I don't think is going to win because it's just making a woman old.
Right.
And you're left with Pirates of the Caribbean. So I think that's what should win.
So do we all three agree on Norbit?
Yeah. Sadly, that's where we're in agreement.
We're making a call on Norbit for
the Oscars.
Let's
move on to original score. We're like in a 20-minute segment here.
Original score.
Real quick.
Dude, I think Ratatouille should win just because it was an awesome movie. I think Atonement will win, though. So, moving on.
Right.
Will and should would be Atonement.
I agree with you, Brian. I mean, I just think using the typewriter as he did as a score was actually pretty brilliant.
Innovative. It was awesome.
Original song? Once.
I think Once is going to win because anything from Enchantance is getting the vote split. But of all the songs I think it should win, that's how you know from Enchanted because it was just such a brilliant parody of itself.
I'm going to go with Falling Slowly.
From Once, yeah.
Will win, but
I think we agree.
Spider Pig should have been there.
Spider Pig, yes, from the Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
Totally got overlooked.
Should have been there.
Yep.
There we go. Let's skip a short film.
We'll do, we got to do the technical one. Sound editing.
Neil?
Jeez, Transformers. I watched a thing about Transformers and the sound editing. They did such a fantastic job with that film, and those guys worked very hard. I think they all worked hard. I don't take anything away from all the other nominees, but I think Transformers deserves a lot of these technical awards because it was a spectacle. Yeah. It was fantastic.
I agree with you as well. I think it's going to and should just because it's going to because the sound editors vote on this thing.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Brian?
What do you think?
No Country. Really? I mean, just the fact that, I mean, with those scenes, you could just cut the tension with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those scenes where it was dead silent, you were just on edge. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
They did a great job editing silence in there.
And I think this carries over into sound mixing.
You know what I meant.
Sound mixing, I mean, we can almost agree it should be the same. I think it should be.
Actually, I'm gonna go with Bourne Ultimatum on this one for both, simply because I think that's again making sense of the chaos.
Right.
And sound sort of the sound editing is The Transformers was like almost overmixed at times. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing I think might go against
it. True. It was very, I mean, it had a lot of Michael Bay music.
It sounded awesome, but it was just, it was like, it just wasn't as, it was so obviously, oh, this is a really cool sound effect.
Right.
So I think that's why Bourne Ultimatum might take it.
Brian,
quit drinking your milkshake.
Transformers.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
I think, and visual effects, here's another garbage category. There's only one movie that I think should be nominated out of these three.
Oh,
yeah. The Golden Compass was cool, but it was meh.
Well, you also watched it on video, too. You didn't get to see it on the theater, it looks different because it's maximized for the theater.
Pirates was cool, but I think it was too much in the way of effects. I tell you what, bringing Transformers to life, you should win an Oscar for that.
I agree. I think
Michael Bay should have won Best Director.
Not that. Brian?
Transformers should. I really just think Pirates will.
Yeah.
Just because of the history of the trilogy.
Well, and also, actually, if you look at the effects, if you actually watch what they did to it, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
How much effects were used.
You can't pick out, you know, the CGI.
Absolutely. Cool. Let's do screenplay.
We'll adapted. Do screenplay, and we can do the acting, and then we'll do the
big Neil, one. Screenplay.
Which one? Adapted?
Let's start with Adapted.
I think No Country. I think it's probably the better between. It's really between that and There Will Be Blood. I think No Country will win. I think it absolutely should.
Okay.
No Country, No Country.
I'm actually going to think Atonement again. I'm going to throw it to Atonement because I think there's a lot of love for Atonement out there, but they don't know, they don't want to give a Best Picture. But I think No Country for Old Men should win.
Yeah, cool.
Screenplay original, Neil.
I think honestly, at this point, if Diablo Cody doesn't walk away with his Oscar,
you're going to blow up.
We are all going to be scratching our heads like, what the heck? Because it is every sign.
Why didn't the Savages win?
Every sign, and the Savages was a great screenplay. And I will say Ratatouille also very deserving. Michael Clayton, get that movie out of here. Lars and the Real Girl also very great. But there is not.
Stop with your milkshake.
I'm drinking your milkshake.
There is not a screenplay this year that dominated a movie like Diablo Cody's screenplay for Juno.
Yes.
It was the heart and soul of that film. Which,
what about the screenplay for Delta Farce?
Also very good. The acting was very poor, though.
Yes.
So, Brian?
Brian.
I really do like Juno, but I have to completely disagree because I think that if you look at the story at its core, it's nothing special. I mean, it's a girl who's pregnant and gives up the baby. But, I mean... it's the dialogue and it's the acting that drove that movie. I don't think it was the screenplay.
Yeah, the dialogue comes from the screenplay, dude. That's how it works.
I have the screenplay in there. It's all in there, dude. Honest to blog. You're it's like, all in there.
I don't think it was the screenplay. I think it was the writing that made that movie come out.
So,
but anyways,
all that wit is in the screenplay. I think that's the brilliance of it.
Would so what do you
like
think
to, would
should
you like to change it?
I was going to say Lars and the Real Girl, but you know what? Both of you are jackasses, so I'm going to let you do whatever it is that you guys do.
Hey, you come in the magical studio of the sky, you get abused. That's what happens, and I drink your milkshake. Hold on a second.
All over your laptop.
All right. I think Juno. I'm going to agree with Neil. Yeah. Let's move on.
Boo.
To supporting actor.
Supporting actor?
Sure.
I really think that this is another one. If Javier Bardem does not win this one, it's going to be enraging for me because his performance was,
ridiculously
I would say,
80%
of the appeal of that film for me.
Yeah.
His performance just did it.
Call it.
And
the
Coen brothers are fantastic, and I just think he should and absolutely will win it. This is one of those lockdown categories.
Yeah,
you know,
Brian.
I think All Sense says that it's a lockdown category, but yeah, I mean,
but it is.
Javier Bardem just so stole the show.
Oh yeah,
in that one, and I mean, everyone else was good. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman in Charlie Wilson's War, but I just don't see him breaking out of that and knocking down Javier Bardem.
The thing was though that he was better in Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
I don't know. I don't really know if Before the Devil Knows Your Dad deserved to be released.
I couldn't get past his giant ass blocking a nude Marissa Tomei. That just offended me.
Therefore, he should not win an Oscar for it.
Him and Jack Black, naked as a Jaybird in these movies. What the hell?
That's why they didn't get nominated.
There you go.
Anyways.
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress. I think in a very screwed up universe... I think Amy Ryan, in a sane universe, Amy Ryan should win this award.
Okay.
In this very screwed up one in which we live, Ruby Dee is going to win this award.
Fuck,
because she is old.
Like, she was in the movie for 5.5 minutes.
I think there has to be five and a half minutes.
It's a 160-minute movie, for Christ's sake.
And you know what? And there are a lot of things that could happen in these Oscars. Juno could win Best Picture. You know, Diablo Cody could lose the original screenplay award. This one is going to be the one that people are going to walk away from and go, what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
Well, because I wrote my what the fuck article this week was about Ruby Dee. If you go to Film School Rejects and you read my article, it's about Ruby Dee, how she shouldn't really win it. She's a good actor. She's been in good stuff. Why is she up for this Oscar? And somebody wrote up and was flamed me for it and was like, well, it's for her body of work. I like... No, because if it was for her body of work, it'd be Ruby Dee for her body of work. No, it's like Ruby Dee because she slapped Denzel Washington in the face.
Right.
So there you go.
Good slap, not Oscar worthy.
Because honestly, when they were announced, the nominations, I'm like,
what the hell?
She played his mom. What?
Yeah, I had to look it up on IMDb.
It'd be like in No Country for Old Men saying Stephen Root should win an Oscar. He was great in it, but he was in it for like 3 minutes.
Right.
Or like having, you know, I said... Rob Schneider for The Waterboy.
Brian, would you like to follow that?
I thought Neil was going to go with The Little Girl from Atonement.
Oh. Sick burn.
Bones. I'm gonna really have to
just go for The Little Girl from Atonement.
Cate Blanchett is probably going to win because...
she's going to win all the awards this year.
No, Bob Dylan. Academy loves... women playing prostitutes and women playing men.
I love prostitutes. Did I say that out loud? I meant women playing prostitutes. She
got you two and your vices, prostitutes and little girls.
Hey, at least it's not as illegal as little girls.
As baby teeth.
As illegal.
Babyteethpatrol.com.
Anyways, Kevin, who do you think is going to win?
Actually, let's buy that domain before we keep saying it.
Of all the awards, I think this one is the most up in the air. It could go to three or four people. I think ultimately Cate Blanchett's going to win. She won the Golden Globe. She did an incredible performance. I didn't even like I'm Not There, but I thought she was great in it.
Right.
And they do love girls playing dudes. Mm-hmm. And I think she should win, although I think there's... I really can't imagine Ruby Dee winning. I think that if anyone's going to not win... If it's going to be not Cate Blanchett, I think Amy Ryan will take it.
I really think Amy Ryan should. She was awesome in Gone Baby Gone. So moving on, what are we doing? Supporting actor?
We already did supporting actor. What about
leading actor?
Leading actor? Sure.
Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis. I think, once again, this is another one that is kind of locked up. You know, you have a dark horse in, I think, Viggo Mortensen, but I think Daniel Day-Lewis will drink the milkshakes of the other four.
I drink it up!
It was like we planned that.
Kevin keeps taking my damn milkshake.
He's drinking
Brian's. I didn't take your milkshake. I have a straw that goes across the studio, and I drink your milkshake.
Wow. Brian?
Anywho. I'm just going to have to say Daniel Day-Lewis. It's not going to be George Clooney. Viggo Mortensen, I thought that was a horrible accent. So, anyways.
Oh, you think so, don't you?
Very Russian.
I must break you.
See, I think Daniel Day-Lewis is going to walk away with this. I think the dark horse is Viggo Mortensen, but there is a small chance, that there'll be a write-in candidacy for Larry the Cable Guy.
Started by Kevin Carr. And
exactly. Get our done.
Now, here's a tough one. Leading actress. Yes. You know what?
Lead out.
I think, Julie Christie was great, and she's old, so the Ruby Dee effect is in here. So she was at least
in the movie. The movie was about her.
Right. Here's what I think will happen. And this is a bold prediction. Oh, I think Ellen Page is going to win.
Wishful thinking.
I think that Marion Cotillard should win.
Wow.
Her performance.
And you didn't even see the movie. You admitted that earlier, didn't you?
I saw parts of it.
Okay,
her performance.
Those nude parts.
The part where she was a little girl.
That's
the part he
on his HD DVD player.
Oh, jeez. Her performance in La Vie en Rose is fantastic. Sure. I did watch most of my screener. And I tell you what, I think Ellen Page is going to win it. She absolutely deserves not only to be nominated, but to also win. But I think Marion Cotillard should have won this Oscar. So I think anybody else, I mean, she just hands down beats everybody.
So, Brian?
I think Ellen Page has way too much steam. Just going to take it.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going to go with Julie Christie just because I have that early prediction. Because I saw Away From Her and I thought it was okay. I thought it was a decent movie.
Right.
And then she won everything for a month.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, people really do like her in this. They like her.
They really like her.
And Ellen Page has picked up steam. But here's the problem with Juno and why it may not work against it. The Oscar ballots were due on the 19th.
Right.
Which was a Tuesday after President's Day, which means you would have had to mail them by Valentine's Day or the day before. I mean, a lot of the Juno steam has picked up in the last week, which has been after the, and that's for the people who waited to the last minute. I think there may have been people who voted earlier.
Right.
But 2 weeks ago, Juno didn't have the steam it had now. So, I mean, I think the actress categories this year, whereas in the past, last year, the actresses I wasn't terribly thrilled with, but I thought the guys did a great job.
It's a good crop this year.
It's completely reversed. I think the actresses are kicking the actors' asses this year.
Yeah.
But I think Julie Christie's probably going to win. I think Ellen Page deserves to.
Yep. Cool. So what do we have left? We have
directing. Best Picture.
So with directing, I think the Coen brothers are going to win this. But
do you want to do both of these at the same time?
No.
Okay.
I think the Coen brothers are going to win directing. I really honestly think that Jason Reitman should win because I think that Juno, while it may not win Best Picture, deserves to be recognized for the work that he did bringing that entire experience together. I think there's more of that on him, and I think that's the unfortunately what people are not talking about is how well Jason Reitman did with this film, from the soundtrack to the cast to
the dialogue,
interpreting the interpreting the screenplay to writing the dialogue to the way it was shot to really the way it was edited, and every ounce of this film is fantastic, and this is why it stands out. So I think that he should be the one recognized. It's not necessarily the Academy's pick for Best Picture. It's my personal pick, but I think Jason Reitman should win. But I think the Coen brothers are just... I'll tell you in a second what I think is going to happen, but
okay,
move on.
Brian, director.
I think There Will Be Blood is going to win director.
Really?
PTA.
P.T. Anderson's going to make it, huh?
Yeah, I really do. I just think it's...
He's not going to have a Goulardy freak out at the Oscars.
You know, and that segues into my next pick, but which is probably going to be really obvious from this statement. But I think that's what they're going to throw at him, considering he's not going to win Best Picture.
Ooh. I think the Coen brothers are going to win, and I think they should win. I think it's one of their best movies they've made, yeah. And it's made such a statement. And overall, and I'll segue in here since I'm the last one to talk about this. Yeah. I think it's going to also win Best Picture. And the reason for it is because everyone said, oh, the conventional wisdom is No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood is going to split because it's such a similar theme movie. But if you look at the history of all the other awards, There Will Be Blood's only grabbed a couple, and No Country's just gobbled them up in terms of winning for Best Picture for so many. It got so many awards. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just where the steam's leading. And I would love to see Juno win both. I'm not saying it should. It was my second choice out of the year for No Country.
Right.
The problem with Juno is, if you look at last year, I really thought Little Miss Sunshine had a chance. It got Best Screenplay, and like that's it. And that's right. Why I don't.
Well,
think
Well, it got Best Supporting Actor too.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, like Abigail Breslin was last year's Ellen Page, and she didn't win.
Right. Well, I think Juno's a
who won Best Supporting Actress last year.
Shoot, I don't even know.
Some idiot.
I forget. I don't know. Brian, what do you think? Who's gonna win Best Picture?
Oh, No Country.
No contrast, no country?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Here's my prediction.
Okay. I already know what you said. You sent an email out to me.
I believe in the split vote.
Okay.
Okay. I believe that Juno will win.
That's not what you said in the email.
I know.
You
that's
out.
Not what I said
you're
in the email.
You're such a John Kerry.
I am a flip flopper all over the place.
Because he's French.
I'm a firm believer in the fact that it is too strong. That the three between Juno, No Country, There Will Be Blood, and even Atonement. Those four films are too strong. None of them are going to rise.
Atonement has no chance.
I think Atonement does. And I think it's because everybody feels bad for Joe Wright because he didn't get nominated for Best Director. I think that it's the international voters that loved Atonement. It cleaned house overseas.
Yeah, but the Academy's in America.
And there are Academy voters all over the world.
Well, yeah, but the majority of the voters are in America.
I get that.
That's what the Golden Globes are for, is for all the Frenchies.
A lot of them are Frenchies, so... Okay. They want to be European.
I'm going to translate here for Neil. Neil's like, I think Juno should win because it's about a pregnant teenager, and I love attempting to get teenagers pregnant.
Wow. You're a douche.
Well, the mass appeal of Juno.
This is just going to validate me in impregnating little girls everywhere.
Here's what I think.
It's hip. It's cool. Faux shiz.
Here's.
Jizzle will whizzle.
I hate you guys. You're dicks. Here's what I'm. Here's. And this doesn't conform to the way we've been doing things. I think Juno will win, but if No Country wins, I will not be surprised and I will not argue. It's going to be just like last year with Little Miss Sunshine, where when The Departed won, I was like, man, I really wish Little Miss Sunshine would have won, but you can't argue with No Country for Old Men. Okay. I think if any of the other films win, I mean, if Atonement wins Best Picture, what the hell?
If dude? Atonement wins Best Picture, I will track down Joe Wright and punch him in the face.
Like,
and I'll make Neil
and I honestly
assault
think,
some girl in front of him.
And I honestly think that There Will Be Blood is not going to win no matter what.
I just don't think it's
going to. It's
have
going
chance.
To be No Country. It's going to be Juno. You're either going to have a huge upset or you're going to have the one that everybody else thinks should win.
Yeah. I still think, as much as I think Juno has gotten some steam, I think most of its steam's come in the last 2 weeks in terms of buzz and everything. And I don't think there's enough voters in those last 2 weeks. Think we'll holding
see.
Out.
I
we'll
just see. I want to see all of these self-righteous, egomaniacal film critics who are bashing Juno. I want to see them eat their words. I really do.
Because you, this you is, hear that, Bill Clark?
Do you hear that, Jeffrey Wells? Okay. I want to see them eat their words in the sense that I believe that Juno is the best, most unique, most creative film of the entire year.
Ever made, and ever to you know be what? Made.
No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood, they were released in separate years. They each won a Best Picture Oscar. But this year, they're crippling each other.
Okay, that's so, cool. You heard it here. Now let's wrap up this big fat Oscar segment in our big fat Oscar show. This was, what, 47 minutes, I think?
48, 9.
Huge. Eight.
Nobody's even listening.
Yeah, no one's listening anymore. So. Fast forward. We're going to come back with the DVD roundup and review wrap up and a preview of next week.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. If you're still with us after that ridiculously long,
go to the. If you want to know what our Oscar picks are, go to the internet, listen to the whole 3-hour show,
or head over to Film School Rejects. We're gonna have tons of Oscar picks,
but not in there. The detail that not in the three of us
not
gave.
In the really unnecessary detail that we.
You
gave.
Can hear Kevin Scat scriddly diddly.
So we're moving on to our DVD roundup, where we talk about what came out this week and what you should see if, for some reason, you cannot find enough to do this weekend.
Yeah.
There are the Oscars.
But who actually watches them? Just go on the internet.
Just go. I'll be live. We'll be live blogging them on Film School Rejects. I think we're going to make Brian do that.
Yeah, because you and I are going to be at an Oscar party getting drunk.
So... anyways, your pick of the week there, Mr. Carr.
Well, my pick of the week is American Gangster, and not just because it's The Gladiator versus Malcolm X in one big Harlem gangster.
That would have been a sweeter movie, though.
One of the things I loved about the release of American Gangster is I went to IMDb, and like on Monday, and it comes up and has American Gangster available on DVD and HD DVD. And down there on the news site, it says HD DVD is dead, says Toshiba. I'm like, so if you're going to be a sucker enough to go buy American Gangster and HD DVD.
Well, I have a comment to make because I got the HD DVD to review.
Yeah.
And I was at Best Buy the other day and I saw the special edition. And I was like, wait a second. The special edition, the standard def DVD that is like $20 has all these special features. And I come home, they're not on the HD DVD. There's no good special features.
So what you're saying is they gave up before this even came out.
They absolutely gave up on it, and I was just so incensed. And now I'm going to have to go buy the stupid regular one.
Well, and then my as a squeaker second pick, it's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown.
Okay.
It's out on DVD. Enjoy the 1974 classic cartoon.
Fair enough. My pick is Margot at the Wedding. I think it was a very quirky and very cool film.
Because Jack Black's naked.
And Jack Black is naked, and Nicole Kidman is pretty good in it. So I think
she's not naked. Well, she's sort of naked.
Nah, I mean, only partially.
Like Jack Black's like completely naked.
Not as much as Jack Black is.
He shows his scriddly diddly.
You got a lot more Jack Black than Nicole Kidman.
You get
Kidman
a lot more Jack Black
with.
Than you really need. But here's the reason is because this is a film that not a lot of people saw, but I think it's worth seeing. So go out and rent it.
It's not as good as The Squid and the Whale.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, whatever.
Noah Baumbach.
Yes. Was that Sean Connery step in the studio? Noah Baumbach.
No, I just like saying it. Noah Baumbach.
That's the Chicago way.
Baumbach.
Anyways, Brian, what's your pick?
Walker, Texas Ranger, season what?
4.
Season 4.
You don't even know what it is. Season.
No, I was doing that on purpose. Shut your mouth.
Written by
Paul Haggis. Paul Haggis, the guy who won the Oscar for Crash, wrote Walker, Texas Ranger.
Is this the season that has Haley Joel Osment having AIDS? He has AIDS in one of the episodes.
I don't remember all the episodes verbatim.
You don't have them written down on index cards at home?
I don't have my QB wrist.
Honestly, God, this is a true story. I had a friend in high school who was like such a ridiculous Three's Company fan. This is like, got to remember, this is the 80s. So this is like just when we started to get VCRs. And he taped every episode of Three's Company and he had them in index cards.
Wow.
This is, of course, before Friends. And he literally had them indexed as the one where Jack does blah, 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 blah. And the one where, and I'm looking through them and that's exactly how they are. And then Friends ended up doing, of course, that's how they titled all their shows. But this shows how cutting edge my childhood was. He liked
And your friend later became known as that guy who killed.
I think
who?
He killed somebody. I think he actually gave John Ritter his heart problem.
Really?
Just to kill
him. Wow.
To impress a girl.
Transferred it from, yeah.
There you go.
Amazing. Crazy.
So, yeah, Amy Eisbeck trying to sue the doctor. Not going to work. She should sue my friend.
Just a goof.
Yeah. All right, cool. So there's your DVD roundup. Other notable titles, you had Michael Clayton, In the Valley of Ella, Rendition, Lust Caution, Redacted.
All the Blame the American Soldier DVDs.
Most of the crappy political films from last year.
And Lust Caution, NC-17, Naked Asian Chicks.
But it's an R-rated film on DVD. Yeah. The NC-17 version, you had to be a cool film critic to get.
No, it is unrated. Yeah, it's available unrated.
Well, there's two different versions then, because I saw
Well, you
the
can get
rated.
The unrated version. You just can't get the unrated version at
Lame.
Blockbuster.
Anyways. So let's
recap. Of course,
recap.
Neil prefers the NC-13 rating himself.
Can we review recap our reviews here?
No.
All right. So, what?
Sure.
We'll start with Witless Protection, which we all gave a preemptive suck because we didn't see it. They didn't screen it. They wouldn't dare bring us anywhere near this film.
But we will be there.
On Friday morning.
That's right.
If I wake up. Yes. Vantage Point, Brian, you saw it and said...
Sucked hard.
And I said kind of rocked.
Yeah.
Because it has a wicked cool chase scene that I wish that they would have had Matt Damon drive through at one point and go, huh?
Matt Damon.
Nice. And then I saw Charlie Bartlett, as did Kevin, and I said it totally rocks.
And I said kind of rocks.
And finally, Be Kind Rewind. I was the only one who saw this because I saw it at Sundance. And
you had to fly to Utah to see this
one. But it was worth every... It was actually worth every pedophile joke that you guys
was
gave.
Was it worth those 13-year-old girls you passed up on, too?
It was. It was a great movie. Wow. So go see Be Kind Rewind if it's, you know...
If you want to.
If it exists where you live.
Yeah, if New Line actually allows other people to see the movie.
So next week we've got the other Boleyn girl.
Boleyn. Yeah.
We've got Penelope and we've got Will Ferrell's Tour de Force of Stupidity, Semi-Pro.
With some cool Will Ferrell clips.
With some cool Will Ferrell. We've got cool all kinds of stuff for Semi-Pro. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. Give us a call, 614-388-8735. And that's all she wrote. Brian, thanks for driving down here and hanging out.
Thank you.
And Kevin, thanks for coming back.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Oh, hell no! That's Lex Luthor! He can't wear that!